One of the most discouraging experiences we can have occurs when someone buys us an electronic gift but forgets to include the batteries. How can we expect to see results when we're ill-equipped? Fortunately for believers, the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans, the 9th chapter, verses 6 through 13, that God makes sure we are equipped for his ministry. Let's listen as Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright continues with part two of the series on evangelism called Evangelism, Success Included. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Psalm says this in the Psalms, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell in it. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That's Psalms 46. "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Then I went down to the potter's house," Jeremiah said. "And there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel.'" Saints, we serve a supreme and sovereign God. He is all powerful and does not answer to anyone. In other words, he's at the top of the food chain. Amen. And further, God expects us humans to worship him, to obey him. Amen? Man's greatest problem, however, is with sovereignty. See, we don't like that sovereign stuff. That all-powerful stuff, that unbeatable, all-powerful, totally in control, unstoppable. And in today's words, I heard my kids say, you know, what others are saying now, compared to God, you're garbage. Wow. We don't like that. Our nature cries out, you know, no, we want freedom. We want control for ourselves. You can see it even in our everyday getting along. Check out movies, for example, right? In the original Halloween, Jason was a bad cat, right? Man, his antics and everything else, we were like, oh, horrifying. But by Halloween 20, right? Jason was so bad and everything. Jason got on our nerves. Kill him already. Will somebody get him? He's too tough, right? I was looking at a movie with my kids, The Avengers, Age of Ultron. And this villain, man, he was so tough, all the Avengers together couldn't get with him, right? And I was looking at the movie, and I was like, man, this dude is just too bad. It's not even entertaining. Will somebody get him? He's too powerful, right? Just too powerful. You can even look in the world of sports. Man, when Mike Tyson first came out, he was the hottest topic. Man, did you see that guy? Woo, he's pop, gone, he's gone, he's out. Man, the tone changed, though. And you saw the tone change quick, because what folks end up saying when he kept knocking folks out at the first and second round, they said, man, I ain't gonna spend my money on that fight. That's a waste of time, right? I mean, you know, by the time we sit down and I done paid my $40, $60, $80, man, he done knocked the dude out, right? And then you go one step further, right? And the one step further is, will somebody get him? I can't wait. Man, I hope Holyfield whoop him. Right? He was just too tough. Then you want him to be knocked down a peg. And that's how we are with one another, aren't we? Right? When you see someone with that air about them, that think they are so what? Better than, right? They think they are all that. It's just something within us that want to bring them down a level, knock them down, right? And in fact, I remember a story that Elder Williamson had told. He said that he was at work and someone advised him, a coworker advised him. He said, listen, man, if you want to know the dirt on somebody, just go to their best friend and brag on them. Just keep bragging on them. So you go to their best friend and you just say, ooh, see right is. Ooh, did you hear him preach? Ooh, he can preach. Oh, my God. Ooh, did you hear him sing? Oh, my God. Ooh. And that best friend all of a sudden be like, he ain't all that. Right? He ain't all that. See, we got this natural thing within us that we want to, we can't have you too high. See, we can't deal with a God that is all powerful. We want anonymity. We want that freedom away to do our thing. To do our thing. But the truth is that God's sovereignty is our salvation. Amen? It is our salvation. And once you think about sovereignty, about him being all-powerful, right? All-powerful, supreme, then you can go and move into the next ideal, which is that sovereign or effectual call. God gives an effectual call, effectual call, effectual call. See, there's a universal call, but then there's an effectual call. The universal call goes out to everyone, right? Right? Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. It shows God's graciousness, grace, grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, right? It shows God's graciousness. That call is embedded within it is grace. Grace. But then there is the effectual call with an E, right? That means when God calls what? You ain't got no choice. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He calls in a way where it will happen. John Murray states, in order for us to get the full strength of the word's effectual call, we should use the words summon. God summons, right? And this is not like summons in court, right? It's not like summons in court. Because the summons in court, when you get it, a summons in the mail from court, it doesn't come with the power to get to court, right? That summons in the mail doesn't come with the power to get to court. But when God calls you with that effectual call, something happens within you, and he gives you the power to respond, to come to the destination in which he wants you, and that is fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with Christ. It's also immutable, right? Ain't no change in it. He calls you and he knows what he was doing in the first place. Come on. Come on. And it's also built in with some perseverance. No matter how high you go or how low you go, right? You're going to make it. You're going to see what the end is going to be. Amen? It's an effectual call, powerful call of God. But what are we called to? We're called to be saints. Saints. Now, some, I can hear you now, if you follow me, that ain't fair. How can he, like, call one and then not call the other? That ain't fair. I mean, he called and he said, hey, and they ain't got no choice but to come. And then all of a sudden he called the other ones in this universal thing, and they can just come if they want to. How's that fair? How is that even, how is he fair? I remember one time in court, I saw a lawyer. A lawyer was making his case, and at the end of the case, and he says, Your Honor, my father always said to me, fair is what you pay on a bus. Fair is what you pay. This is God we're talking about here. A sovereign God, amen? A supreme God. When he calls, it calls with an effectual call, and you will come. You will listen. In Isaiah 45th chapter, in the 9th verse, he says this: what sorrow awaits those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it and says, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot claims, how clumsy can you be? Elsewhere in scripture, it says this in Psalms again, you thought that I was altogether like you. This is God. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. God is much higher and greater than we are. And we need to keep him in the position that he ought to be in. He's sovereign, powerful, and ought to be lifted up. So in these verses in Romans, that we find in Romans, the 9th chapter, it explains to us God's sovereignty, or allows us to see his sovereignty at work. How he chooses who he chooses. Amen? He first explains to us in verses 6 through 8 how God calls a nation. He says in verse 6, "But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel." It's not that God's word all of a sudden lost effect because of what he was saying before. Prior to this verse, he was explaining how God's plan had came all together. But some folks say in chapter 2 of Romans that all of a sudden Paul says, but all of Israel didn't make it. So since Israel didn't make it, does that mean that God's word failed? Not at all. Not at all. He says in verse 7, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham. Right? But in Isaac your seed shall be called. Back in verse 6, he says, not all Israel who are of Israel. There's some distinction. It's basically saying here that although God may have called a nation, he didn't call everybody in that nation. Right? Everybody gathers to church. Everybody comes to church. Ouch. Right? And I think you got what I'm saying. Right? Paul is saying, don't ignore this basic fact. Look at it. I'm trying to get you to move from the physical to the spiritual here. Because every time there was an argument with Jesus, with the Pharisees, right? They were saying, we are the children of Abraham. And they stuck their chest out as they claim, we are the children of Abraham. But here, Paul is saying, just because you are a Jew, just because you are from the nation of Israel, that doesn't mean that you were chosen. See how particular, how specific God is getting. And then Paul says, let me develop the argument even more. In verse 8, that is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Taking you from the physical to the spiritual here, that word promise is real interesting. It's a legal term, and it's a summons or a promise to do or give something. It's a gift, a gracious gift, gracious gift. It's given graciously. It's not a pledge, right, of negotiation, if you will. It's not like we're going to negotiate this thing, but it is a promise that it's going to happen. The results are guaranteed, and those are the promises we get from God. Guaranteed. Guaranteed promises. Amen. For this is the word of promise. At this time, I will come and Sarah shall have a son. So now he said, not only am I particular in nations, but I'm particular even once it comes to the individual. So I moved from Israel. Now I'm showing you how I chose Isaac. And I chose Isaac out of a family because, remember, Abraham decided to do his own thing, right? Right? And they had this ideal. Since God is waiting so long, how about if I give you Hagar and you have a child, right? And then he had who? Ishmael. So God was saying, Isaac is the promised seed, right? I chose Isaac. I didn't choose Ishmael, right? I chose Isaac. So from a nation, now he's telling you from a family who I choose. Then he says even more in his argument, let me break it down even more for you. right? Let me break it down even more for you. At this time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. At this time, keros, it speaks to an opportune time. So it's an opportune time, a time of opportunity here. And it's not about convenience, if you will. See, this is a type of time where it's not about your comfort. It's not about it's comfortable to do or it's cool to do. It's saying that no matter if it's uncomfortable or a comfortable time to do it, it's going to be done. It's going to be done. And it's interesting because often when I speak to folks about the Lord, or I hear them in conversations about church, what they say is that I'm going to come, but it's when I, you know, I'm going to at the right time, when I get it together. When I get it together, then I'll come. When I get it together, I'll come. And depending on their age, they have a lot of time to get it together. And they're still talking about, when I get it together, then I will come. But this is an opportune time. See, while the breath is still circulating throughout your body and the blood is running warm through your veins, this is the opportune time for you to get it together. For you to get it together. And Paul goes on and he says, let me just develop my argument more. I talked to you about how God chose a nation. Then I talked to you about how God chose an individual within a family. Let me make it even more interesting for you, Paul says. And don't miss this point. He says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. Are y'all getting that? Because what he did is he reached back and he said, I talked about Isaac and Ishmael, right? And they were of the same family. But what about, as R.C. Sproul says, what about womb mates? Right? What about womb mates? Even in that, where you had two twins, right? You had twins, right? The twins were who? Right? And they shared the same womb. And before they even came, before they could even do something good or bad, it was according to God's call, right? Before they even got here, he told Rebekah what? The older shall serve the younger. This is God's doing. This is God's doing. And when he calls, you ain't got no choice but to come. But to come, right? So why are you fighting? So why are you fighting? Come unto me. If you hear that call, why are you fighting? If he's tugging at your heart, why are you fighting? Why are you fighting? I heard an older gentleman says this. You know, he said, you know what the Bible stands for? Bible. Bible stands for believe it before leaving earth. Believe it before leaving earth. That sounds pretty wise to me. Believe it before leaving earth. Wow. And he goes on to say, basically in his argument that we talked about how he chose a nation, talked about how he chose someone from a family, and then we got real personal. These folks shared the same tummy. And he chose one over the other, right? And he goes on to say this, it was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Ooh, ouch, right? Ouch. From the get-go, Lord? From the start, Lord? What is this thing of election and you calling some, but others, you're not calling with that effectual call, right? How can we reconcile that? That's God's business. And that's God's sovereignty. That's how awesome he is. He's so awesome, I can't explain it. I can't explain it. That's how somehow it works out where in his sovereign will, those he determined to come will come, but yet those who don't come are personally responsible for their decision. Wow. 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 We serve a sovereign God on today. A sovereign God. Which leads us to a very important implication. If he's a sovereign God with a sovereign effectual call, then doesn't that emphasize even more Isaiah 55:11? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall purpose or prosper in the thing for which I sent it. How does this tie into evangelism? When you go out and you go forth with God's word, and you're telling folks what God has done for you, you don't know if you're talking to someone that God has chosen or not. You don't know. All you were told to do is go. Right? And don't make this thing complicated. Now, I want to pause here to say that Tuesday nights, if you can come out, we will get more practical about just how you can go out and evangelize. Amen? But I don't want you all to get it complicated or complicate the process to a point where you're standing still and not doing anything. Right? Because if you can recall in John, the fourth chapter, when Jesus read that woman's ABCs, right? And by the well, right? And Jesus was just getting water, and then Jesus asked that profound question, you know, go tell your husband. And she spoke it in the old English, I don't just have a husband, right? Right? Thou art correcteth, right? Thou have what? Five, right? Right? And she, what did she do? She didn't come back and say, okay, how do you evangelize? How do you witness? I got to take a class. I got to do. No, what she did is what? She went and she told them that this man, what? Man, he told everything. he read, woo, y'all got to come. Y'all got to come and see, right? See, here's the interesting thing. Witnessing is telling about what you've heard, and seen. What has he done in your life that you have been a witness to where you heard and you seen? That's enough information to go and tell somebody. And here's the beauty of it all. In God's sovereignty, you're going to have some success. There is somebody that will come. There will be someone that you will affect in a positive way, right? Because without evangelism, guess what a world, guess what a church does? There's some guarantee in this. There's some guarantee in this. So if we don't open our mouths, guess what will happen? We will, right? Historically, I remember Elder Gene Harris preaching this point, but he said, historically in churches, in this church in particular, we have this interesting growth where we grow in numbers by the next generation pumping out babies in their family, right? So Jerry came here, C-Wright came here, but then all of a sudden, you know, he marries Karen, and then all of a sudden, they generate three. The church grew by three, you see? And then all of a sudden, if somebody else have them over here, they generated by three more or four more or two more. And then all of a sudden, we got all this inward growth. I was talking to the biologist, chemist at our house about cancer. And she was trying to break it down to me. Because I said, man, you know, don't cancer do this? And we both agree with this, that cancer is this improper growth of a cell where it keeps multiplying itself, right? And it just keeps going. We don't want that cancer type of growth going on, right? But we want that growth that comes like when you're working out. Because she said to me, you know, when you're working out and all of a sudden you're like tearing those muscle fibers produce further fibers that come and then you get bigger and stronger, right? Am I correct in my terminology there? Okay. But that's what she said, right? And we get bigger and we get stronger. It's a healthy strong, right? A healthy strong. And I don't want to embarrass him, but I see that healthy strong in Jordan. Jordan came and he was graduated from high school. He was kind of skinny. Kind of skinny, right? But he was determined. He wanted to play some football, right? So he went up there to that college, and they had him eating all day. They just had him eating and eating and eating, and then all of a sudden he was pumping weights and everything else. Then when Jordan came back on a visit, I was like, man, you changed. He's gotten stronger and bigger. He doesn't look unhealthy. He looks healthier, and that's what we are about here at New Life. We want to get healthier. We want healthier growth. Amen. But in order to get that, we have to open our mouths. Open our mouths about a sovereign God who called us with an effectual call. And it's got to be some positive results. Positive results. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.